how will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years. This statement from Zechariah, it seems fairly innocent, doesn't it? It seems like an innocent statement on his part. How am I supposed to know that this is going to be the case? However, the linguistics here don't really reveal it in English, but it's kind of obvious in Hebrew. He's whining. This probably ought to be better translated as, "Oh yeah? Well, how? I'm old and she's old. How are we going to have a kid?" Kind of reminds me of Abraham and Sarah, remember? They've been praying and praying for a kid. Abraham was 90, Sarah is 80. Menopause done come and gone, no children, and God comes and says, "She will have children like the stars up in the heaven and like the sands by the seashore." And Sarah laughs. "I can't possibly have kids." "Why did you laugh?" God says. "I didn't laugh." "Yes, you did," God says. Well, here, Zechariah responds to the angel. Now, put yourself in his position. He is a priest of the order of Abijah. He's pretty high muckety-muck. He's there in Jerusalem doing his job. Even though he's old, he's doing his job. And in the midst of doing it, he goes into the temple, having drawn the lot to do it. He goes in to make incense offerings, and there is this great big angel there by the table of incense, who then speaks to him and gives an amazing prophecy. And his response is natural. The angel says point blank to him, I mean, really clearly and really loudly. The angel speaks out, "Do not be afraid." Because after all, he was terrified. He sees this angel, and then he says, "Do not be afraid, for your prayer has been heard." And I can already hear his little brain and the gears up there clicking, going, "Oh yeah, it took you long enough. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Zechariah will bear you a son, and you will name him John." And then listen to what this says about him. "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Well, yeah. Been expecting it, been praying for it. I'm old, she's old. That's great news, right? And then listen to this description. Listen to this amazing description. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink." Oh, boo-hoo. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. No wine, no strong drink. "Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." Wow. Usually in the Old Testament, prophets would have the Holy Spirit come upon them. They would proclaim God's word, and the Holy Spirit would leave. And the Holy Spirit would come back and come upon them, and they would proclaim God's word again, and then the Holy Spirit would leave. Here, this guy's born with the Holy Spirit. Indeed, before he's born, he has the Holy Spirit in his life. As we will see later on in the story, when Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, when she cries out and says, "Hi," Elizabeth hears it, and John the Baptist, 6 months on and still cooking in her womb, jumps and leaps with joy at hearing the voice of Mary, the mother of the Lord. Right after she's conceived, this happens. So he's filled with the Holy Spirit, with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow! This is great. His son, Zechariah, even though he's old, even though his wife is old, Zechariah's son, John, is going to make good. He's going to be a good son. He's going to do all these good and wonderful works. No booze, but boy, he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. You'd think he'd go, "Woohoo! Let's get home. I want to see Elizabeth." But he doesn't. Now I can kind of hear, I can kind of hear Jensen over here saying, "Really? Really? Well, how? Tay's old and I'm old." Sorry, Kay. We're playing a role here for just a minute. She's old and I'm old. How can we possibly have a kid? And he replies, the angel replies, "I'm Gabriel. I'm Gabriel." That's the voice of the Lord. "I stand in the presence of God." Well, you don't normally stand in the presence of God, but here we have an archangel whose authority and position in the heavenly host means that he can stand in the presence of Yahweh God, the creator of the universe. "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of the Lord." Now that phrase is going to be important in just a minute. We're going to come back to that. "I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent. I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And all you've done is whine and complain and demanded how it's going to happen. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute until the day these things occur." You will become mute. You won't speak another word. No more words will pass your lips for 9 months until these words of mine come to pass. Hear that, Jensen? No more words. 9 months. That'd be just about as much of a miracle as this one, wouldn't it? And look at Kay shaking her head, "No!" Wow. So he comes out, and he can't talk. And he's gesturing and trying to gesture and get their attention. Everybody knew something was wrong, because my goodness gracious, he took so long in there. He comes out, they all know he's seen a vision of something, and he can't talk. It says at the end, when the time of his service was ended, he went to his home. Yeah, sure he did. And the very next phrase says that immediately in her time, Elizabeth conceived. What the angel said was true. What the angel promised was true. Zechariah was mute for 9 months, until the baby was born, until he named the child, had to write it down, named the child John, and then he could speak. And the first thing he did was prophesy a word of the Lord. Now, one of the morals of this story is, don't doubt an angel. Don't doubt an angel. When an angel says something to you, pay attention. When you receive those kinds of revelations, pay attention to what the angel has to say. When God speaks, we don't need to be running off at our mouths. We need to be listening, paying attention to what is being said. You would think that this description of his son would have captured his attention so much that he would be filled with rapture and joy that here he is. He's going to be the dad of a kid who's going to do all of these wonders. He's going to be the new Elijah. Instead, his own concerns, his own fears, his own worries, his own understanding, his own inability to understand, his own nature got in the way. And instead of hearing the promise, he asked the question, "Oh yeah? Well, how? How?" Now, you notice, he doesn't really explain how. Mary, just a chapter later, Mary's going to ask a very similar question of Gabriel. Gabriel's going to come to her, and Gabriel's going to give this promise. We're going to hear about it next week. This promise that she's going to conceive and bear a son. And she asks, how can this be? Because I'm only a virgin. And the reader's supposed to go, whoa! Last person to ask the question to Gabriel got struck mute. But the nature of her question, the phrasing of the question, is very different from Zechariah's. Hers is said in wonderment, in amazement. How can this be? I'm only a virgin. And here the angel tells her how, as we will hear next week, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The power of the Most High will come upon you. Zechariah was focusing on himself. Mary was focusing on God and how God would work the miracle. Not questioning it, but anticipating it. Well, we, my friends, we need to face and turn to the angels in our lives. We need to face and turn to God and listen to what God has to say to us and receive the promises God has for us. The promises of a Savior, the promises of eternal life, the promises of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, and self-control. The wonderful promises that we receive here in this Advent season with these themes of hope, love, joy, and peace. We need to hear these promises. We need to receive the gospel message, the good news message that the angels bring to us. We need to implement them in our lives and rejoice in the glorious gift, for He gives us His very self. He gives us His very self. Zechariah. This story is important for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is because with its information, you can actually calculate when Jesus would have been conceived and born. And we might talk about it a little later on. We're not going to talk about it now. If you're curious, I've written an article on the subject. But the amazing thing about it is that through this story and through this affirmation of the birth of John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner, the embodiment of Elijah in Jesus' day, through this story we hear that God prepares the way. And God calls us to listen and be ourselves prepared for the coming of Christ for us. Will we make ready the pathways of our God? Will we make ready the pathways of our God and be prepared to receive Him anew? The Prince of Peace, the Prince of Joy, the Prince of Love, the Prince of Hope? Will we make ready for the coming of the Prince, the Son, the Word, the Lamb of God for us? Or are we going to ask the question, oh yeah, well how can it be? We're too old. We're too poor. We're too sick. We're too ignorant. We're too lost. Or whatever explanation or excuse we might have. Are we going to offer an excuse up? Or are we going to be ready and willing to receive the message and receive the one who comes as the message? Jesus the Christ, into our lives. None of us, not a single one of us, is too old, too young, too rich, too poor. None of us, not a single one of us, is beyond God's ability to use, to implement, to call into His loving service, if only we will say yes. Be ready for Jesus to call you. Be ready for the angels to come and call you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2015 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.